The following sermon was delivered on Sunday evening, August 5th, 2012, at Trinity Baptist Church in Montville, New Jersey.
Have you ever had a toothache? You probably have, if you've lived on this world long enough. Have you ever had a toothache, though, that began suddenly, producing pain that was piercing and could not be ignored? So what do? You go to the dentist, and he begins to take one of those nice metal probes and hasn't yet given you any Novocaine and starts probing around in the area where you have concern. And the probing is not pleasant. At least that's been my experience. And at times the dentist will touch portions of your teeth that then shoot sharp, piercing, intense pain and causing you to cringe. But you know that this is necessary. You know that the probing is absolutely necessary and the associated pain is inevitable if you are finally to have the tooth repaired and the pain removed. When a very small way, this illustration imperfectly pictures the Lord Jesus' interactions with Peter in the passages that we will read this evening. So please now take your Bibles and turn to Mark chapter 14. We'll reread a portion that our brother has just read, Mark 14, beginning with verse 27. And Jesus saith unto them, All ye shall be offended or caused to stumble, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered abroad. Howbeit, after I am raised up, I will go before you into Galilee. But Peter said unto him, Although all shall be offended or caused to stumble, yet will not I. And Jesus saith unto him, Truly I say unto you, that you today, even this night, before the rooster crows twice, shall deny me three times. But he spoke exceeding vehemently, If I must die with you, I will not deny you. And in like manner also said they all. And now turn over to verse 66 in Mark 14. Verse 66. And as Peter was beneath in the court, there comes one of the maids of the high priest, and seeing Peter warming himself, she looked upon him and saith, You also were with the Nazarene, Jesus. But he denied, saying, I neither know nor understand what you say. And he went out into the porch, and the rooster crowed. And the maid saw him, and began again to say to them that stood by, This is one of them. But he again denied it. And after a little while again, they that stood by said to Peter, Of a truth, you are one of them, for you are a Galilean. But he began to curse and to swear, I know not this man of whom you speak. And straightway the second time the rooster crowed. And Peter called to mind the word, how that Jesus said unto him, Before the rooster crows twice, you shall deny me three times. And when he thought thereon, he wept. And now turn, please, to John chapter 21. John chapter 21, beginning with verse 15. The Lord Jesus has been raised from the dead at this point in time. And in John 21, beginning with verse 15, we read, "So when they had broken their fast, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? He saith unto him, Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith to him again a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He saith unto him, Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He saith unto him, Tend my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Do you love me? And he said unto him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep." Well, from these three passages tonight, I would like you to see three things. The first, I'd like you to see Peter's pride and rashness. Peter's pride and rashness. Secondly, I would like you to see Jesus probing and restoring. Jesus probing and restoring. And thirdly, Peter's profession and repentance. Peter's profession and repentance from these three passages which we've read. First of all, Peter's pride and rashness. Well, before we even look at that, what is pride? I think pride is one of those sins that is, in one way, hard to define because it actually manifests itself in so many different ways. But here's a brief definition of pride: an excessively high opinion of yourself, an inappropriate self-confidence and self-reliance, boastfulness, and being wise in your own conceit, in your own understanding. That is pride. But now, what is rashness? I said that Peter's pride and rashness are seen in these passages. Rashness is characterized by ill-considered haste, acting without thinking, acting without prudence, impulsiveness, recklessness, foolishness. And so what we see in these passages, the Mark passages, is Peter's pride and rashness. And we see this, first of all, in his words. Notice again in Mark 14, turn back there. In verse 29, Peter said, "Although all shall be caused to stumble, yet will not I." He also said, "If I must die with you, I will not deny you." In other words, Peter was saying, "Though every disciple around me be scattered from you, Lord, yet I will not flee from you. I will even die with you. And Lord, my very last breath, my very last words will proclaim my attachment to you, my commitment to you." Peter's boastful words reveal his prideful superiority with reference to his fellow disciples. He had an inflated opinion of himself, and his words demonstrated it. But we also behold Peter's rashness in his words. In verse 68, when the maiden said, "You are one of Jesus' disciples, you're one of them," Peter said, "I don't know nor understand what you're saying." You see, Peter said basically, "I don't understand you. I'm clueless. What are you saying? You don't make sense to me. You're saying I'm one of this man's disciples. I'm not one of his disciples." He rashly proclaimed that he had no acquaintance or connection with the Lord Jesus Christ. His statements were unguarded. They were impulsive. They were thoughtless. They were foolish. But he also, we're told in verse 71, began to curse and to swear, "I know not this man of whom you speak." Peter showed this rashness in these words. Now, he was not using profanity. That is not what the English words mean. Rather, Peter began to pronounce a curse, an anathema upon himself. He was calling for God's judgment upon himself should his statement that he did not know Jesus prove to be false. Peter began to swear, that is, he began to promise with an oath in the presence of witnesses that he did not know this person, Jesus Christ. Remember the words of the Lord Jesus on another occasion in Matthew 10, where he said, "Everyone, therefore, who shall confess me before men, him will I also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him will I also deny before my Father who is in heaven." And that is what Peter has done rashly on this occasion. But we also see his rashness in his words. "I do not know this man of whom you speak." In these words of denial, Peter distances himself further from the Lord Jesus Christ by referring to him as this man. Remember Peter's words on a much earlier occasion recorded in Matthew 16. Jesus said to his disciples, including Peter, "Who do you say that I am?" And on that occasion, Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." But now, in this hour of temptation and trial, in rashness, Peter is confessing, not only does he not know this Nazarene, but he's saying, "I don't know this man of whom you are speaking." The very one he earlier had confessed to be the Christ, the Son of the living God, he now rashly says, "I don't even know this man." But we see his pride and rashness also in his emotions. Look again in Mark 14 and verse 31. We're told there by Mark that Peter spoke exceeding vehemently, "If I must die with you, I will not deny you." You see, exceeding vehemently. He did not speak these words with a very plain, dull, monotone, without emotion way. He spoke them with great violence of passion. He spoke his boastful words that "I will not deny you, but I will even die with you." He spoke them with an overflowing of emotions, and his emotions manifested his prideful self-confidence and his rash impetuosity. But thirdly, we see Peter's pride and his rashness, not only in his words and in his emotions, but in his rejection of Scripture and Christ's words. Notice in Mark 14, verse 27, Jesus said to Peter and to the disciples, "All you shall be caused to stumble, for it is written." And he quoted from Zechariah. Jesus himself in verse 30 of Mark 14 said unto Peter, "Truly I say unto you," to you, Peter, not to everyone, to you, Peter, "that you today, even this night, shall deny me three times." But what does Peter say? "Though all shall be offended, caused to stumble, I will not." Peter, in his pride and rashness, declares that he will prove that the scripture is not true with reference to himself, that he will be an exception. The very words of the Lord Jesus himself, where Jesus says, "Truly I say unto you," Jesus is saying, "Amen, Peter. So be it, Peter. Truly, Peter, I say to you." But Peter says, "No, no, no. I am not going to accept your statement, Lord." He, in pride and in rashness, rejects not only the written scriptures, but the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. How empty, how vain is Peter's boastful, conceited, and rash rejection of God's word. So that's the first thing from these Mark passages. We see Peter's pride and rashness. But now, secondly, turning to John 21, let's see Jesus probing and restoring. Jesus probing and restoring. Notice verse 15 of John 21. Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" Jesus begins his probing with a question, with a comparison. "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" You see, previously, Peter did compare himself to his fellow disciples, didn't he? He said on that occasion in Mark 14, "Although all shall be caused to stumble, yet I will not be one who will stumble." You see, Peter compared himself to his fellow disciples. So Jesus here probes Peter with a question, with a comparison. "Do you love me more than these?" Jesus is lovingly and wisely and pastorally probing Peter's heart and conscience with this comparative question. And the Lord is performing this necessary probing not in privacy, but in the presence of Peter's fellow disciples, whom Peter had previously scorned with condescending pride. In his response to the Lord's question, now in John chapter 21, Peter manifests the work of the Spirit of God in his heart, producing the grace of humility. No longer does he compare himself to his fellow disciples. He rather meekly responds for himself alone. He basically says, "Indeed, Lord, you know that I love you." He's not comparing himself to his fellow disciples now. But notice, secondly, Jesus' probing of Peter is not only with a question, with comparison, but the same question three times. You see that in John 21, verses 15, 16, and 17. Where Jesus asks Peter, "Do you love me?" Now, in the original language, in the Lord's first and second question to Peter, Jesus uses the Greek word agapao, which is translated love in our English Bibles. In the Lord's third question to Peter, he uses a different Greek word, phileo, which is also translated love in our English Bibles. Peter, in all three of his answers, responds by using the Greek word, the form of phileo. Now, Pastor Chansky, in a previous sermon, showed very clearly from our Bibles that these two Greek words, both of which are translated love, are used at times interchangeably in the New Testament. And some would say that here there is a significance in the fact that Jesus, in the third question, doesn't continue to use the word agapao for love, but then switches to phileo. Well, whether that is true or not, I want us to put that aside And I want us to simply notice that essentially the Lord is asking Peter the same question three times. And why did Jesus do this? In his hour of temptation, Peter rashly and foolishly denied knowing the Lord Jesus three distinct times and thus sinned. And it's as though the Lord Jesus is now saying to Peter through these three questions, Peter, by your three denials, you declared not only that you don't know me, but that you did not love me. And now, Peter, I am going to ask you this question three times. And I want you to remember your sin. And I want you to be ashamed of your sin. And I want you to humble yourself. And I want you to repent thoroughly. And I want you to confess your love and renewed attachment to me. You denied me three times publicly. I ask you publicly three times, do you love me? And of course, Peter did say, I love you. And so the Lord is now accepting Peter's three affirmations of love, which he voices publicly in the presence of fellow disciples. And through this process of probing, the Lord Jesus graciously, although painfully, fully restored Peter spiritually. The Lord wanted Peter to know that he was fully and freely forgiven for his grievous sins of denying the Lord Jesus, for his grievous sins of pride and rashness. So we see how Jesus is probing by asking essentially the same question three times. But now notice Jesus gives a threefold recommissioning. Notice in John 21, verses 15, 16, and 17, the Lord commands Peter three times, very similar commands, slightly different. First, feed my lambs. Secondly, tend or shepherd my sheep. And thirdly, feed my sheep. And you see, here is the Lord Jesus now, after Peter says, each of those three times, I love you, Lord. You know I love you. Jesus now three times recommissions him, saying, feed my lambs, tend my sheep, feed my sheep. Sinlessness is not required by the Lord to feed and shepherd the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. But humility and love are not only required, but absolutely vital. And the Lord knew that Peter had been brought to a new level of humility and self-knowledge of his own sin and his own weakness through this trial. And in grace and love, the Lord recommissions Peter to his work of tending to the flock of God with this threefold command. They corresponded to Peter's threefold declaration of love for the Lord Jesus Christ. So that is Jesus' probing and restoration of Peter, our second main heading. Our third main heading tonight is Peter's profession and repentance. Peter's profession and repentance. Notice in John 21, verses 15 and 16, Peter professes his knowledge and embrace of the Lord's omniscience. That's his first profession here. Peter responded to the Lord's first and second questions with the words, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And in Peter's third response in verse 17, he stated, Lord, you know all things. And with these words, Peter plainly declared that he understood that the Lord Jesus is omniscient. The Lord knows all the thoughts and all the workings of the human heart. And this profession by Peter of the Lord's omniscience revealed Peter's faith and confidence in the Lord Jesus as the God-man, as the Son of God, as the Christ, as not just a man, but the God-man. For only God can know all things, and only God can know the inner thoughts of a man's heart. But notice, secondly, Peter's profession of his love for the Lord. In John 21, verses 15, 16, and 17, Peter not only declared his faith in the Lord as the omniscient God, he declared his sincere, personal, persevering love for the Lord Jesus. He said again and again and again, "Indeed, Lord, I love you." And this profession by Peter of his love for the Lord Jesus revealed his saving union with Jesus Christ. At the heart of all things, in the root of Peter's heart, he did not love his sin. He loved the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for him, who rose again for him, and who now on this occasion was graciously caring for him and his soul. So we see his profession of love for the Lord in his statements. But now notice from Mark 14, if you would turn back there to Mark 14 and verse 72, we see Peter's repentance with grief and obedience. Mark 14, verse 72. His repentance with grief and obedience. In Mark 14, verse 72, we read, "And Peter called to mind the word, how that Jesus said unto him, Before the rooster crows twice, you shall deny me three times. And when he thought thereon, he wept." Now, the presence of tears is not necessarily a sign of genuine repentance. Presence of tears is not necessarily a sign of genuine repentance, and neither is the absence of tears a sign of impenitence. However, when the sin has been flagrant and very grievous, as Peter's sins were, genuine repentance is often joined to genuine weeping. And Peter's weeping manifested his deep remorse for his terrible sin of denying any connection with the Lord Jesus Christ. His weeping revealed his deep remorse for his lying. Because when he said the Lord, he didn't know the Lord, that was a lie. His tears revealed the heart repentance for his sin of pride, being so proud. "I will never deny you, Lord. Everyone else may, but not me." His sin of pride caused him to weep. His sin of being rash, making these bold statements and rejecting scripture truth, was sin. His disloyalty for the Lord Jesus Christ. All of those sins caused Peter to weep. But notice in verse 17 of John 21. Turn back to John 21 and verse 17. We read that Peter was grieved because he, Jesus, said unto him the third time. What was Peter grieved about? When the Lord questioned him three times, "Do you love me?" Peter was grieved, we're told. And there were probably a number of reasons for Peter to feel the reality of grief in his soul at this time of probing by the Lord Jesus. But certainly one reason for Peter's grief, I believe, was that the three questions by Jesus, "Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me?" Peter knew why Jesus was doing this. He had denied him three times. And I think one reason for Peter's grief was that Jesus' three questions reminded him afresh of how brazen his denial of the Lord was at the very crucial point in the Lord's life when he most needed, if I can use that word needed, when he most needed the faithfulness of his disciples. Peter was grieved with his sin of pride, his denial of Christ, his faithlessness, especially as they stood in stark contrast to the humility and faithfulness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we can be thankful that our Bibles reveal in the book of Acts and the letters written by Peter, we can be thankful that we know that the grief that Peter felt was the beginning of the work of genuine, sincere repentance, and that his life continued to manifest faith in Christ and repentance from his sins, a life of gospel obedience to the Lord all his days. So from these passages, by way of review, we've seen Peter's pride and rashness. We've seen Jesus probing and restoring. We've seen Peter's profession and his repentance. I'd like now to draw out some lessons from this study here. Isn't it true that, like Peter, you do not really know your heart as well as you think you do? See, wasn't that part of Peter's problem? He thought too highly of himself. He had way too much self-confidence. He had a lot of self-importance. With all of his spiritual knowledge, he really did not know his heart as he should have. And that's no different for you or me. We promise loyalty to the Lord Jesus Christ, and we should. And we should mean it. But isn't it true we can easily prove to be disloyal to the Lord Jesus? Isn't it true that the sin of pride blinds us and hinders us from securing an accurate self-knowledge? Isn't it true that the sin of pride often leads us into many other sins? Isn't it true that pride often leads to lying? We say something that's very prideful, somebody questions us, and we then realize that we've been discovered. The person may not know it, but we know we've been discovered as not being really truthful. So then we lie to cover over the previous falsehood in the midst of pride. Isn't it true that pride indeed can be manifested in false humility? Oh, I'm such a bad, bad person. When in reality, you're just wanting people to fawn over you and flatter you and say, "Oh, you're not that bad." It's just perverse pride. You may never have used the exact words as Peter did on his occasion when he denied any knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. But isn't it true, dear Christian, that there have been times when you and your practice and your life with your actions perhaps with different words, have denied your relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ in the presence of unconverted fellow students at school or college, denied your connection to Jesus Christ in the presence of work associates and bosses, denied knowledge of Christ in one way or another before your unconverted relatives. You may never have rashly protested publicly, as Peter did, that you would never deny knowing the Lord Jesus. But have you used rash, reckless, sinful words in other situations in your life? Have you, as a husband, in the heat of anger, rashly said to your wife, "I don't love you anyway"? You didn't deny Christ rashly as Peter did, but you used rash words with your wife. You may not be as brazen as Peter was on this occasion when he rejected Scripture's unchangeable truth. But do you live at times in such a way that reveals that you, practically speaking, do believe that you are an exception to Scripture's commandments and pronouncements? That specific scripture truths don't really apply to you personally. You see, pride and rashness of heart, thoughts, speech, and behavior are very serious and evil sins which must be confessed and repented of whenever committed. And rejection of clear Bible truth as irrelevant to your life, irrelevant to your situation, is also a very serious and evil sin which must be confessed and repented of whenever committed. Many, many sins are committed by each one of us every day. But surely pride is one of those sins that is very evil. And Peter manifested pride and rashness, as well as rejection of clear biblical truth on those occasions. And we should not think that somehow we are better than Peter. Well, what is our hope then? What is your hope? What was Peter's hope? Our hope must rest totally upon the Lord Jesus Christ. His perfect sinlessness, his perfect righteousness, his blood shed in his death on the cross under the wrath of God, as God righteously punished the sins of his people, his elect. And this hope is quickened and strengthened when we behold the Lord Jesus Christ and his dealings with Peter and all of Peter's sin on these occasions. Behold, in John 21, indeed in the way Jesus dealt with Peter, behold, brethren, the love of the Lord Jesus Christ for Peter. In Luke 22, we read these words, where Jesus spoke to Peter, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan asked to have you, that he might sift you as wheat. But I, Jesus, made supplication for you, that your faith fail not. And you, when once you have turned again, establish your brethren." Did Peter remember those words as he wept? That Jesus told him that Satan wanted to have him, but he remembered that Jesus said, "I have prayed for you, Peter, that your faith will not fail." We don't know, but perhaps he did. Did Peter remember Jesus' words? And Peter, when you once have turned again, establish your brethren. In other words, Jesus was promising to Peter that he would indeed repent. He would indeed turn again. He would not stay in pride. He would not stay in denial of Christ. He would not stay in a state of lying. He would indeed turn again, repent, embrace Jesus Christ. And so you see here, we behold the love of the Lord Jesus Christ for Peter. Jesus knew what Peter would do. He saw all of Peter's sins and all of Peter's life, and yet Jesus Christ loved Peter, and Jesus Christ persevered in loving Peter. And when Peter was faithless and denied Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ was not faithless to Peter, but Jesus Christ was faithful to Peter, and Jesus Christ ensured that he would not be lost. And that, dear brethren, is the love of Jesus Christ for every single one of his disciples. If you are a Christian here tonight, you have been born again by the Spirit of God. Your sins are many. You have possibly had grievous falls as Peter did on this occasion. Repent of your sins, turn back to Christ, and remember that he is a Savior who loves sinners. But notice, secondly, it's bound up with the love, the faithfulness of the Lord Jesus Christ for Peter. In John chapter 21, Jesus' probing of Peter's heart is not cruel, it is faithfulness. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, Proverbs 27:6. But the kisses of an enemy are profuse. Judas comes to Jesus in the garden and kisses him a lot as he gives the sign, he's the one to take and lead away. Here in John 21, Jesus is not kissing Peter. He is giving faithful wounds by his probing questions. And the faithfulness of Christ for Peter is joined to his love for Peter, because he is committed to see Peter transformed totally to become just like himself, Jesus Christ. And Christian, that is what Jesus Christ is doing for you. He is faithfully wounding you to make you more like himself, even as he did with Peter. But notice, thirdly, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ for Peter. The Lord forgave Peter all of his sins, including these sins we've seen tonight, his pride, his rashness, his lying, his disloyalty, his denial of the Lord Jesus Christ, because we know from Jesus' words in other parts of the Bible and from his apostles that that is indeed true. Those whom Christ saves, those he keeps, those he sanctifies, those he brings to glory at last, and in the whole process, he is faithful to them and he is gracious to them and he forgives them all their sins. In Matthew 12, verse 31, Jesus said, therefore I say unto you, every sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men. He, of course, makes the exception with the blasphemy against the Spirit. But when you look at Peter's life, clearly Christ forgave Peter his sins. In 1 John 1:7, we read, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. And in Revelation 1:5, we read, unto him that loves us and washed us from our sins by his blood, to him be glory. So, dear brethren, what is your hope? It is Jesus Christ who is alive forevermore. He remains faithful to you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. He who has begun a good work in you will complete it. And when you come to the Lord's Supper tonight, and you take the bread and the cup, remember that he who died on the cross for you and your sins is indeed a Savior who loves you, a Savior who is faithful, a Savior who is gracious, and you see that in the way he dealt with Peter. And do not be unbelieving, but believing. You have it in the scriptures before you. And for those here tonight who are not Christians, you don't need to take the bread and cup, you shouldn't. But you can go to Jesus Christ where you sit by lifting up your heart in prayer, by crying out to God through Christ and say, Lord, I don't even know where to begin with my sins, but I ask you to have mercy upon me and cause me to know what Peter knew. Cause me to know what others around me know. Cause me to know you personally and truly in my life's experience. And I believe you can do that. And I come and ask for your mercy. Jesus Christ does not reject such individuals. Peter rejected Jesus, rejected the scriptures for a season. Jesus does not reject sinners who come to him. So may God help us all this night to do just that. So let us close in prayer. Our gracious God, we come to you and thank you for giving your Son to us needy sinners. And this night, we who are your people confess our sins of pride, our sins of being rash with our words, our sins of faithlessness and disloyalty to Christ, our sins, Lord, of lying and not speaking the truth. And we thank you that there is forgiveness for us in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that his blood goes on cleansing us from all sin. And we pray, our God, that you would make Christ, the living Christ, to be very real and precious to the hearts and lives of every single one of your people in this place. And that you would also make Christ real for the first time to those who do not know him. They may know a lot about him. They may know much about the Bible, but they don't know Jesus Christ personally. Lord, our God, come in mercy and grace and save sinners this night. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.